Thought for today. Hate is a luxury I cannot afford. Hate is a luxury I cannot afford. Hate is a luxury I cannot afford. Think about that. Think about what that means when we say that hate is a luxury I cannot afford. We've been watching these Pirelli tapes and learning about natural horsemanship. We've been learning about natural horsemanship. We've been learning about natural horsemanship. We've been learning about natural violin playing. We've been learning about natural music writing. We've been learning about natural love and working with animals. We've been learning about people who are a natural leader, who are a natural anything. Think about that. What does that mean to be a natural? To be a natural means that you just, within your heart and soul, feel a kinship with all life. And so therefore you're harmonious with whatever there is. Think of this very seriously. The horse is not trained. The horse already knows how to do whatever you're going to ask him to do, correct? The horse is not trained. Who is trained? How did Mozart learn how to play before he was able to really read and write? He listened within. He had that open channel, which we all do. How many parents would let their kid play with their life work, the violin, which his father went out and played professionally and made his living at playing the violin, playing in the orchestra, playing in the symphony, playing. How many would let their three-year-old kid pick up that machine, that device, and play it? My God, he ran out in the other room. Who's on my violin? And Mozart said, I cannot tell a lie. I am playing your violin, Dad. And he said, well, son, do it again. And he did. Do it again, son. And he did. Do it again, son. And he did. Son, we're going to put you on stage. You see, he knew. But most parents go in and say, put down that, whatever it is they're handling. Don't touch that computer. Don't touch that violin. Don't do these things. Now, in Pirelli, natural horsemanship, the horse knows how to do everything. It's just the man needs to know how to do it. When Mr. Pirelli began working with his horses, he's a lover. He's a gentle person. He didn't have to teach himself how to be gentle. He didn't have to teach himself how to hold a line for a horse. He didn't have to teach himself how to love a horse by cuddling it. He just treated the horse like he would have liked to have been treated. And the horse was his lifelong buddy. And then he learned a few little ways of handling it so that he could communicate in a distance. The horse didn't give him his attention in the beginning because he didn't give the horse attention. But as he gave the horse his full attention, not seeing what's going off on the peripheral of his vision, not seeing the people out there or the camera, not seeing the cars going by, not seeing the dogs running around, not seeing the cats, just the horses. When we come to the last part of this film, you will see many of his outstanding students. And you'll see them all in a small area working with their horses, not the slightest bit concerned to what the other is doing, except maybe to glance over and say, great, and then go on with their work. No concern, only concern about what each is doing with their own animal. You see, the world is filled with wonderful experiences that we created. The world is filled with glorious experiences that we created. And then there's some not so glorious experiences. And those are what they're called hateful experiences. Somebody makes a mistake, and right away they said, "You're terrible, you're terrible, you're terrible." Instead of saying, "Hey, that doesn't get you the result you want to do. Perhaps you might try a different way." The little child makes a mistake. "You're terrible, you're stupid, you're just like your father." You know. "Why can't you be like your brother, so intelligent?" You know, all these silly statements we make. Instead of dealing with each individual on an individual basis and say to the child, "Now, that didn't get us what we wanted, did it? What do you think we can do to get what we want? To have the horse go where we want to go, or to have your friends follow you? What makes Marcello a leader? Marcello is nothing more than anybody else. He's just got a body, mind. But he likes himself. He absolutely likes himself. And he doesn't care if anybody likes him or not. He likes himself. And he goes around enjoying himself. Kind of sickening sometimes. He likes himself even when everybody else has to work hard at not liking themselves. And he gets on the equipment as though he'd been on it all of his life. Because he likes himself. And he's willing to learn. He knows. He knows. Now listen very carefully to this. He knows what discipline is. When Ellen said, "We must learn the rules of the campus," okay. And he went to learn the rules of the campus. Ellen did not show him everything. Ellen was not fair to him. Ellen didn't show him the rules of the house. She didn't show him the rules of the campus. She didn't show him what being a monk is, and she didn't want to overkill him, you know. She just showed him a little bit at a time. And that's good too. But if he had seen it all, he would have treated everything differently. But he did okay. He likes himself. Therefore, everything worked fine for him. He likes himself. His friends that he visited a short time bought him a cowboy hat and bought him cowboy clothes. Most people have a child visiting for a while, they're glad to get rid of him. And they invited him back. "You're a good influence on our kids. You're a balanced, happy, harmonious child." Well, so many parents raise their children in the negative sense, and then they grow up, and then they feel that they have to take care of the rest of the world, that they have to go around and control the world, because they can't control themselves. So they have to, you know, you teach best what you need to learn. You teach best what you most need to learn. You teach best, remember that. You teach best what you most need to learn. So the very things that you're teaching others, be aware that that's homebrew. That's something you want to really work on teaching yourself. It's a hard thing to say. But you teach best what you most need to learn. So why don't you learn it yourself instead of going out and teaching it? And then when you live it, all the world will respond to you based upon who you are. So we have Pirelli's horseman training. Pirelli is not training the horses. Please be assured of that. There is no horse in any of Pirelli's training that is being trained. It is the person. It is the man who is being trained. He is being trained to give the horse space. The horse doesn't need the space enough. The horse isn't afraid of small places. The horse is not claustrophobic or any of these things, he said. The man is. And the man projects this onto the horse. What would happen if you took a man and you put him in a dark room, closed the door, locked it, go crazy? He's claustrophobic. He can't stand being tight in a horse doesn't mind it. You put a horse in a barn, close the door, and the horse feels happy and content. It's the man. It's always the man. We transfer our fears, our hates, our unhappiness on others. So what we have to do is to clean up our own backyard. We have to clean up our own backyard. And how do we clean up our own backyard? We clean up our own backyard by saying, I like me. Now, hate is a luxury we can't afford because it has such dramatic, instant responses. In the airplane that was hijacked over Washington, the wife of one of the executives called her husband on the cellular phone she had in her pocket. She said, sweetheart, the plane is being hijacked. And we're being ushered in the back of the plane. Now, 80 people, 80 stupid, witless people. I mean, Herb, don't say that. You're even on tape. Yes, 80 stupid, witless people who had 80 consciousnesses to go compared to the one consciousness of the person who was dedicated, supremely dedicated, to doing the task he had set before him of landing that plane in the Pentagon and crashing it there. 80 consciousnesses that could have spoken their word and said, there is peace on earth and it began with me. This plane is on a perfect flight to Los Angeles where it is planned to go and everything is harmonious. Whoever these people are, I see them at peace now. I see them relaxed. I see them with peace and love in their hearts. I see them peace. I first am peace. Do you understand that? First, you got to be peace yourself. Man, Herb, that was a tough kind of peace. Beat your chest out. Yes, I first have to be peace. Now, those 80 people wanted to die. They gave themselves over to a circumstance that came into their life. One man, perhaps several, but not 80. And they let the consciousness of those couple control what they did. They hated them. They hated these people who were hijacking the plane. They disgusted in them. They reveled in them. They reviled in them. They said, they're terrible. And they lit the furnace with more hate, empowering them to carry on their ignoble deed. You think that the world is not carried about by cause and effect. Well, you are very silly. The world is controlled by cause and effect. The people in the other plane, the two planes that crashed into the the great towers, were the same way. Once they realized they were being hijacked, they thought to themselves, panic, 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 hate, hate, hate. Instability. Give over their life. Give over everything to the evil that's taking place, evil in their heart. The woman was walking down the street the last bus stop, and a man was following her. He might have been just living in the neighborhood, but she didn't know. But she was fearful. And so she turned to him and said, "Sir, I'm afraid to walk down the street in the dark and alone at night. Would you mind walking with me?" He was walking right behind her. "Would you mind walking with me?" She changed him from the devil into an angel. He could not hurt her because she created him being her guardian angel. These people on the hijacked planes, they're not defenseless. They're not without an armor of love, an armor of peace, an armor of magnificence that surrounds them. They forgot for a moment, and they entered into the game. And they hated these men who were hijacking their plane. They had no idea they're going to go into the tower. They had no idea. All they knew is that they were being hijacked, and that wasn't nice. They have seen other planes hijacked and landed places and demands made by the hijackers. They didn't realize they were part of the demand of the hijackers. "You're going to kill us all? No way! We are going to get you, and we're going to do this." "No, no. We surround you with our pure white light of love." If one person back in those group of people had said, "Look, hey, we can die with hate, or we can love them to pieces and release them from anger in our heart. And as we go on to our other experiences, and we're free of that." But we may not even have to go on to other experiences right away. We may have a number of years left. Let's surround them with our pure white light of love. Let's surround them with the goodness of our heart. Let's surround them with peace. And my God, what would have happened? What would have happened? The hijackers would have said, "I don't know, I don't feel like doing it anymore." And the pilot of the airplane would say, "Thank God." And he'd land the airplane. It didn't have to be that way. Life never has to have its unhappiness. Life never has to have its evil. Life never has to have its lack of control. But somewhere we have to begin to learn to control ourselves. Somewhere we have to begin to learn to do as Pirelli suggests. Communicate our wishes to the horse. And we communicate our wishes to the horse by our line. We communicate our wishes to the horse by any number of things. How do you communicate your wishes to the horse? Do you communicate your wishes to the horse by anger? With a stick, whip the horse and beat him? It doesn't hurt him. He's got a thick hide. It hurts you. It hurts you. When your cat pisses on the floor, do you chase the cat and say, "You damn cat"? Or do you say, "Sweetheart, you must learn to use your potty box. And then go clean it up and take her and put her in the potty box and say, now, do your potty in here." The cat doesn't understand what potty is. The cat doesn't understand what piss is. The cat doesn't understand any of those things. It just does what comes naturally. But if it has a potty box, which is cleaned, the cat doesn't like to use a dirty potty box. If it has a nice clean potty box, it'll go use it. If it can get to it, it'll use it. But if you close it up behind a shower door, it can't get to it. "Well, I'm keeping the dogs out." Well, tell the dogs to stay out of the bathroom. Tell the dogs the bathroom's not the place for the dogs if that's where you're having the cat. You see, these are all little simple things. Simple, tiny, eensy-weensy little things. And we make a big thing out of it.
Oh, that cat, you know what it did?
Hey. Oh, the baby went in his pants. Big deal. Show me a baby that hasn't gone in his pants sometime, and I'll show you a magical one. But every parent's used to that. They don't go around announcing, oh, the baby went in his pants. Oh, the baby. The neighbor's saying, she's got some hang up there, you know. Oh, the baby went in the toilet. Ooh, how old is it? Is it now 3 years old? Is it now 2 years old? What is its age when it did that? You see, we have to expect the very best at all times. We have to expect life and love and joy all the time. Now, if I publish this tape here, there are going to be a lot of people who are very unhappy with me. Because a lot of people in this world do not want to take responsibility for themselves. And that's what makes them human. It's only a divine being who takes responsibility. Would you say Mr. Pirelli is a divine being? You bet. He loves himself and he loves what he does. Do you say Mozart perhaps was a divine being? You bet. Do you say Mozart does a few dumb things in his life? Sure. Pirelli, does he do a few dumb things in his life? Quite likely. They even had to get one of the dumb things off the film. Because he's just a natural person. He does what comes natural for the environment he's in. But what he doesn't do, he doesn't forget that he is the master of the horse. He goes and shakes his finger at the horse reads him well. He could do that at a horse that he had never seen before, and he does it! In his demonstrations, in his shows, he has people bring horses that he has never seen before. And he looks the horse straight in the eye and he says, I love you. Now you do what I tell you to do. The audience doesn't hear him saying this, you know. And then he goes like this. And then he's sprinkling water off his fingertips at him. And the horse backs up. And then he says, come to me. Svengali, the magician. But no, the horse just loves him because he loves himself. And I cannot say too strongly, and you say, Herb, you already have said too strongly, but I cannot say too strongly, whenever you are in a difficult circumstance, please, please give up. There's no reason to fight it. Just give up. When you are in a difficult circumstance, take charge. Take charge. And when you take charge, it all seems to work out. But for an instant, you cannot give up. If everything seems to be coming along all right, and you say, oh, here comes another little thing. Oh, my God, just as I was going so good. Don't give up. Say, okay, this too we can handle. This too is in peace. Have you ever built a house of sticks, matchsticks and stuff like that? You build them up like this and you build them up like that, and some person comes along and goes, and blows at it and blows it down. Do you get angry at the person, or do you just start over again? You could do it once, you do it again. And then somebody comes along and bumps the table, and it falls, and you do it again. You're doing it for the fun of it. There is no great result going to come from building a house of cards or a house of sticks. But it's just the charm of the moment. And all life is just the charm of the moment. And if we can have the same attitude about life that we do about a house of cards or a house of sticks, it's a game. A serious game. It's a game. Lives are involved. It's a game. Emotions are involved. It's a game. And when you take charge of yourself in that game, you know what happens? Your attitude is such that, hey, it's okay. So long as I speak my word 100%, saying what I believe, it is done. It is done. Am I unhappy with these 80 people who crashed into the building? No. They experienced what humans experience around the world. Maybe not quite so tragically or so finally, but they experienced it. The people in the Pentagon, the people in the towers who crashed down, not just the people in the airplane, but the people in the towers who crashed down. You laugh when I say, in the death house, the convict says, and so it is. You laugh if I say this. In the Twin Towers, as they're beginning to crumble, the people ran helter-skelter screaming, but those who had had their yoga training sat down and said, and so it is. They escaped within before they gave their body up without. They went in peace before they released themselves. I would share this with you. This perhaps is the most important truth. When you are facing problems, first become at peace within. And then you can handle the without very easily. If death is to come, beautiful. If life eternal is there, beautiful. If you are to live in a less than perfect body, beautiful. Our friend Dodi, an incident happened in her life recently, where the house in which she was with her friends burned. And she was badly burned over much of her body. And she was thought to be gone. She was in her 70s. And they fixed her up. And today, she doesn't think anything about the burns. She has to be careful because the skin doesn't tan. She has to be careful because her voice isn't quite like it used to be. Her voice now has a different tenor to it because her throat was burned. And yet she goes on with such a joyous, wonderful attitude toward life because her body is not her soul. Her soul is the beauty of her magnificent inner self. We cannot run in fear or hate. Hate is a luxury we can't afford. We run in joy and happiness. And as I say to you a million, million, million times, you have come here to the monastery. Get all you can out of it. And then, when you've gotten all you can out of it, have some place to go. Go to the next monastery, go to the next adventure, go to the next experience, whatever it may be. But don't run away from the monastery because you couldn't take it. Go someplace because you're ready for the next adventure. Because if you run away from anything in life, monastery or anywhere else, relationships you can't handle or things, then you're running away from hate, and hate will follow you. And it's a luxury that you cannot afford to have because it'll kill you. Love the hijackers, and they will not be able to hijack you. Love your children, and they will not be able to make mistakes. love yourself first, and you got the key to everything. Hate is a luxury I cannot afford. And I think that's enough said. I love you.